and she's a real real blessing. Real blessing to us. So, well, happy Thanksgiving to you all. Thank you, and happy New Year. Or no, Christmas first, and then happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Can we say that? Merry Christmas. Cool. Melikaliki Maka. Yeah. Feliz Navidad. All that stuff. Good stuff. Gifts. Get to give gifts pretty soon. You get to receive gifts pretty soon. I received some gift this week, just spending time with my family. We Thanksgiving with the heirs, actually. Yeah, it was their first meal in their place, and it was actually good, surprisingly. Man. They're like, yeah, we just had to preheat all of our appliances today, you know, because it's fresh out of the factory and all the like chemicals were on them. So I'm sure they felt horrible, like just flustered. But they opened their home up and we got to go. It was really nice. They had some folks out there from the church visiting, and it was a good time. It's a really good time. It wasn't the potluck. We had to just show up. I think you guys did a potluck, right? Or we did a potluck. So how was that? What was the best meal? Like plate? You know, what do you guys? Let me hear about it.
Turkey pot pie.
Whoa.
What? Sweet potato pie.
Yeah. Wow. What about the worst? Who brought the worst? Was it Vic? wouldn't it be funny that it was actually whoever brought the worst, you know, got like a gift or something, like this person's meal was awful, they get, you know, whatever. They get to take a turkey home or something. That'd be great. Oh, thank you for laughing. Thank you. Man. The conversations that I had in Kauai with one gentleman went something like this. So, what's your name? My name is so-and-so. Okay, cool. What do you do? Oh, you know, watch Netflix. Oh, cool. What show do you watch on Netflix? Oh, I watch, I forget what this guy was watching, but it was Stranger Things. I'm like, oh, man, that's so good. You know, did you see that? And yeah, I saw it, of course. I watched it in like a day. Or, we've been watching this Orange is the New Black and whatever. And I'm sure you guys have your favorite shows, and Lord have mercy on us, the way we spend our time. the show, there's a really cool show called Stranger Things, and it's a documentary about these kids who find...
A documentary?
Yeah, it's the true story about this alien. And, if you've seen it, you guys, you have to see it. It's so good. And... It's really neat. It's about this world that's sort of, it's really dark, and it's like, I'll try not to give anything away. However, it's these children, kind of like the Goonies, and, you know, they live in a small town, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a change, and there's something big that's going on, and these kids are investigating it, and... turns out, spoiler alert, I guess, there's this realm that they kind of figure out where this creature comes from, and they call it the Upside Down. And so the Upside Down is this awful, I'm about to make a connection here, and it's just like, it's so funny, but it's this awful place that everything seems to be like cold and dark, and you can't live there, you just can't survive. It'd be like being stuck in Temecula, or it'd be like maybe probably more like Antarctica, you know, or like being like in Kauai or something, maybe. No. So the funny thing is when I've been reading the scriptures we're looking at, this term like the upside down, it sort of reminds me of this really great place called the Kingdom of God. And it's the Kingdom of God is not like the upside down from Stranger Things. I just think it's similar in the way that it's a flip-flop. So Christ says, you know, the first will be last. And if you want to be in the Kingdom of God, you must be like a child. So there's this shift that we have to do. And Christ calls us to it. And it's kind of like this upside down flip, you know, like the system we have going on here, the rich and the wealthy who have it all good and they're comfortable. Well, in heaven, those are going to be the uncomfortable. So you just flip it, you know. And then in the same sense, those of us who are just struggling and persecutions and just, you know, I don't know, whatever you would think, like that would be low in our status system, that in the Kingdom of God would be high. That's sort of a rough translation of my upside down to the Kingdom of God connection. So if you would, please just read Mark with me. That's where we're at. We're in Mark 10. So Mark 10, verses 13, and I'm going to go ahead and read all the way to verse 31. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have done all these things from my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." And at this saying, his countenance fell. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, bless you, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first." So the first kind of point in here is the fact that Jesus is paying attention to the children And it's really cool that the Lord is paying attention to the overlooked. And we see this a lot in the Gospels, like the blind, you know, the lepers, the people who are unclean. God goes straight to them, and he opens his arms to them. And there's a part of this that's a real big principle. And I think we ought to do the same as Jesus here. He says to his disciples, he gets indignant with them. And why is he so indignant? Part of it is because his disciples are actually doing the opposite of what they should be doing. They should be bringing people to Jesus, right? And what are they doing? They're saying like, oh no, you can't come to this church, you know, stuff like that. And Jesus gets really pissed off, if I could say that. It's 2017, I don't know, I guess I could say that. And Jesus is just like, no, I welcome these folks. Like, I welcome the humble, I welcome the overlooked, I welcome the outcasts. And so that's a real big principle that I want us to just keep in mind. Jesus says, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. For truly I say, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. A lot of people, I think, take this as like, oh man, the kids are great. Like, we could learn so much from the kids and they should be teaching. And that's close, I guess. That'd actually be really nice if I could just have Gabe preaching right now, or like Amara preaching right now. That'd be really cool. I could just have a visual where, actually Robin gave me this visual where I have all these like theological books, you know, in my studies, and they're like, it's a stack probably like this high. And I drop it on the floor. All right, forget that. We're going to have Gabe and Hero come and teach, you know, just simplify everything. So that's one way to look at this is, oh man, I got to be more like a kid. Well, as I was reading, the way kids were back in the day was they were like almost like apprentices from about 4 years old to adulthood, which would be like 13 if you were a boy. Like, you were a man. Boom. You're welcome in the synagogues. You could sign documents at 13. So from 4, you know, 3 to 4, all the way up to about 13 for the boys, you're being taught life. You're being taught the scriptures. And so there's this student element to children that I think fits the scripture really well. It's like the humble, teachable attitude. I believe Jesus is saying, like, to receive the kingdom of God, you got to be teachable. To receive the kingdom of God, you got to be lowly, humble, and you can't just think you have it all figured out, you know? And that really goes well into the next story of the ruler who, it's so funny that it's ironic he calls the teacher good, you know? Oh, good teacher, like, what must I do? But then he doesn't trust that he's good because Jesus says, this is what you got to do. And then he's like, okay, well, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And so if we truly come as children, whatever Jesus says goes, right? Like, whatever I tell Birdie, that's going to stand, you know? Riley's going to back me up. There's no way around it. And so when this young ruler goes to Jesus, his posture ought to be, okay, Lord, whatever you say that I have to do to inherit eternal life, I'm going to do it. Like, that's it. I'm going to do it. And Jesus says, okay, get uncomfortable. You know, flip your world upside down and be poor. And he just can't do it. Like, oh, man. Like, how much do you trust the Lord if he says that? You know, like, you got to trust him enough to do it. So Here we go. Verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him, asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, so on and so on." And he said, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him. He's so compassionate. And said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." So right before coming up here to preach, the bathroom, the men's bathroom, just, woo, ganja, brah. Just some ganja in there, brah. Man, I'm like, whoa. Huntington High, yep, I remember that smell. So the point is, the Lord called me to let go of it. And, you know, how many of us have let go of things, right? So we've got some of us, the Lord might be calling you, let go of this thing that you think was making you, you know, happy and comfortable and secure. And, you know, whether that's money or status, or I think the currency of Orange County is status. That's Adam Ayers. And and so for some of us, maybe the Lord is calling you to let go of something. And maybe it's something he's saying, you've let go, don't touch it anymore. So the ganja bra, see you later. Not for me. So one thing you lack, that's something that I think the Lord will get to in each of us. That one thing that we kind of hold on to, right? That one thing you lack, and it's going to hurt when he touches it. But got to be kids. Got to trust him that his way is better. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And in some translations it says, "who trust in riches." And the disciples were amazed at his words. Just a side note, I guess. I think about like retirement and like, I think about, oh, people have this retirement, and what if the system just like crashes? You know, would that be something that would glorify the Lord in some sense? Like, it seems counterintuitive, but if the Lord was to say, "Hey, just get rid of your retirement," would you do it? But if the system crashed and the retirement's gone, all you have is the Lord. You know, maybe that could be a blessing. So, that's to the side. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And some scholars say that it's not just a rich man, but it's anybody who has things, you know, just things. In Orange County, we are so crazy about our things. Like, I don't think I saw one Mercedes in Kauai, but when I came back, you know, I'm in like Westminster Garden Grove. It's like, you know, middle class, and there's Mercedes everywhere. It's so funny. It's like, wow, you know, we care about our things. And I'm not gonna lie, I want like a truck, and I want stuff. But as a Christian, I think it's always secondary to like, what does God want from me? You know, what kind of car does God want? Or and hold it loosely, right? Like, okay, Lord, I might buy this truck, but I hold it loose. If you call me to just give it away, you know, I've just got to. Like, to be in this kingdom of God, I've got to let him call the shots, right? And kingdom of God isn't just abstract, but it's actually this concrete, like, the Lord is king. He calls the shots. He reigns in my heart. It's a tangible thing now that we make decisions and whatnot, and it's this realization that he's my Lord, but it's also this, it's also abstract in that it's like, it's to come as well. I'm just going to get back to the scripture now. You're like, thank God. That's a good thing to say. It is easier. It's easier for a camel. Okay, the camel visual, some scholars said that that's like there's this gate, this needle gate in the side of the village, and a camel with all this stuff on its back has to unload. It's not super grounded, I found, but it still works. It's just the basic, it's impossible. You know, that's like the other kingdom principle that's like the upside down. It's just weird. The impossible things are possible with God, you know? The first will be last. The impossible are possible. To be great, you must be a servant. It's those kind of principles. And they said, who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left everything and followed you. So this comes to one of those theologies that I think I struggle with. And it's maybe a disciple thing or a... It's basically that, like, okay, Lord, if I check this off the list, am I good? Like, am I good to go to heaven? And the Lord's like, no, you can't attain that. It's not by works. It's only by me. Like, even if you do all the commandments like that rich young ruler, the Lord's going to say, all right, you still got to let this go. And then he says, okay, I let it go. And it's still by God's grace that he gets to come in. You see that? It's not by his works, but it's by the grace still, you know? And the scholars are saying that to let go of everything, it's a work in a sense, and it's not needed, but it's so advised. It's like when you let it all go, then you can receive. And when you flatten yourself humbly, then you can be raised. You know, like that proverb, the humble shall inherit honor, but pride comes before a fall. So it's this, bless you, it's this thing of, okay, we do these works, we do the commandments, that's all, that's like required. But it's still by God's grace that we get in, right? And on the same token, the Lord's going to call us to lay things down, like lay our livelihood down, like lay the tithes down, everything. And it's not necessarily, let me say that again. So we lay it all down, and that is awesome, because what happens is the Lord says, when your hands are empty, I can give you gifts. And that's also awesome, because when you lower yourself, that means in his kingdom, you're great. See what I'm saying? So it's also a salvation thing, but then this is also God's way of his, this is his statuses in his kingdom, right? So we're called to just lay everything down, be humble, learn from him, and that's what makes us great. Like, I think, was it in the sermon a few weeks ago? The greatest is the one who serves all. I think Danny preached on that. So, yeah, here we go, disciples. Oftentimes this is me, you know. I say, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I've walked away from these things. Like, am I good? Am I good? Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many that are first will be last. And that hundredfold, I believe that hundredfold, and scholars also say that hundredfold is like the kingdom of God through the church. So you let, you know, you walk away from this toxic family and God gives you this beautiful church, right? And in the old days, people were actually just like selling their homes and giving all that money to the church and just living together, you know? So I believe that what the Lord would say to us during this season is that His kingdom is more valuable than this kingdom we're in now. Especially with the holiday season coming up, it makes sense that, you know, we let all that stuff go away, but it's just, let's focus on the Lord. I believe the Lord would say, empty our hands, and that's how we can receive gifts. That's how we receive His kingdom. I'm going to read the parable of Mark 4. If you want to go there, you can. I'll start in verse 10. And when he was alone, those who were about him with the 12 asked him concerning the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn again and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown when they hear. Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which is sown in them. And these in like manner are the ones sown upon rocky ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the delight of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown upon the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and be fruitful and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. It's this principle again that the cares of this world and striving to be this great person now in this age and this, like, you know, this system, it's going to get you nothing with the Lord. And so, as, you know, as childlikeness, we're to be humble, we're to be teachable, and allow the Lord to lead us and call the shots and be king. So let's pray. Lord, your ways are far better than our ways. Your truth is the one truth. Lord, would you teach us to be like children, just come to you humbly every day. And may we learn from you. Because you truly did leave it all. And you followed the Lord's leading. Just like the ruler couldn't do, you did it. Lord, you are so good to us. To your glory. Amen.